It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. I hope you have had a great Friday. Hope you're having a great start to your weekend. I'll be hanging out with you for one more hour. This show, it does get started every weekday, Monday through Friday, at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can always listen on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. You got SiriusXM, it's channel 375. And if you got a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. Oh, it's Friday, and we have talked about a lot, tons. Thank you so much to Jake Wanbach for joining us, NBA draft analyst coming by and speaking with us about everything from Cooper Flagg to, yes, of course, Ace Bailey, who apparently is going to show up tomorrow for the Utah Jazz. Oh, how nice of him. Hey, right before we went to break, we talked about Barry Bonds. He's getting a statue in San Francisco. The Giants are hooking Barry Bonds up with a statue. Does he deserve one? Or is he being rewarded for bad behavior? Okay. Bill Simmons and Kendrick Perkins hate each other over NBA draft coverage on ESPN. The NHL is thinking about adding. Well, they aren't thinking about it. The NHL is going to add two more games. Devin Booker looks like he's getting additional money. Apparently, he's probably going to get a two-year, $150 million contract extension. Masai Ujiri, who is running the Toronto Raptors, he's getting nothing. The Toronto Raptors fired him despite all their success over the past few years. And then Naz Reid, Minnesota Timberwolves, sixth man of the year a couple seasons ago. Minnesota's giving him a five-year, $125 million extension. Oh, man, if only I could be, I don't know, 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", and, you know, shoot me some threes. I'll be making 25 mil easy year after year. Yeah, playing in the NBA is not easy, folks, okay? Anyway, 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. It is Friday. You know what that means. Well, every day we talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. We will do that at the end of the show. But if you got a joke, feel free to call up. It's the Friday Funny. People like to get loose. They like to be ridiculous. For my 5 years here on the Infinity Sports Network, I have always found the callers on Friday to be absolutely ridiculous. And in most cases, sometimes inebriated, especially in my prior shift, where I didn't start broadcasting until 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific. The callers that I got, man, I could do 4 hours of people on the phone just saying absolutely ridiculous things. And so now, yes, I'm porting it over to here, and I have a whole segment for it. If you got a joke, if it can be told on the radio, if it will not get me fired, knock yourself out. You can call up with a joke. Tell America. Feel free to record yourself. You need a demo, knock yourself out. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You got a joke? You got something funny you want to share with America and Canada? Feel free to do so. Let's talk about a few things first that are not funny. Quite serious business, like Ace Bailey. We found out he's going to show up for the Toronto Raptors. All these conversations about whether or not he was happy, is he going to go, is he not going to go. Well, it's been reported he's going to arrive in Salt Lake City, Utah tomorrow. And I don't think he's showing up to spit on the fans of Utah. I think he's going to show up to get prepared for the press conference and ultimately Summer League basketball. I want you to listen to Andrew Whitley. This is the real agent, the man helping and representing Ace Bailey. He spoke to Front Office Sports, and he said Ace Bailey is happy with the selection. Listen to this.
He's thrilled to be going to Utah. Obviously, it's an honor to be selected in the top five of the NBA draft. And, you know, we think he can do a lot of great things out there. He certainly should get a ton of playing time, and he'll have a lot of chances to show what he can do. So we think it's a great situation for him basketball-wise.
What was sort of some of that thought process going into the draft process?
Yeah, I mean, we focused, you know, again, this was led by his longtime manager, Omar Cooper, who we're partnering with on this. And Omar really, you know, focused more on fit rather than going third in the draft kind of thing. He mm-hmm. wanted someplace where Ace could have the best possible basketball fit for his game. And we think Utah is one of the best places he could have gone.
I've never had an issue with anything that Ace Bailey did up throughout the whole process. But what took so long? Why did they wait 24 hours and 48 hours to put out such a statement? Were they really? And maybe they were just trying to figure out what they were going to do. I can certainly understand that. But all this jumping to conclusions and making a mountain out of a molehill, no big deal. There was just we needed controversy in the draft. We needed a story. Cooper Flagg wasn't delivering it to us. And speaking of Cooper Flagg, Jason Kidd talked about him now that he's officially a Dallas Maverick. And Jason Kidd, he had some thoughts about Cooper Flagg being a point guard. Take a listen to this.
You know, I want to put him in at the point guard. I want to make him uncomfortable. And see how he reacts, being able to run the show, being able to play the two, play the three. He's comfortable playing that, but we want to push. And I think he's going to respond in a positive way. It's all right to fail. It's all right to turn the ball over. We've talked about that. You know, just understanding the guys that I've been around that have been young, from Giannis, giving him the ball and he failed. But he wanted to come back and have the ball. So I'm excited about giving him the ball against the Lakers and see what happens.
Now, that's going to be a fun one, isn't it? Like, that's a part of anybody's development, but especially the point guard. You are running the team. You are initiating the offense. But we saw the success that Cooper Flagg had running an offense at Duke. He's a freshman. That's not an easy thing to do. Let's take a listen to Cooper Flagg talk about where he sees himself playing.
It's a versatile position, you know, doing a lot of different things. I think, you know, with the team, looking at the roster, we can play a really good brand of positionless basketball with a lot of guys that can do a lot of different things. So I think that would be one of, you know, the biggest strengths. And I think just trying to play to that and just doing whatever I can to help the team win.
Well, I think in the case of Cooper Flagg, we've seen him have basketball success in many places. I think it's going to continue. Botcher, where do you think he's best situated to play?
He's best situated to play the three and or the four, just because with his size and his ability to switch, he'll be mainly matched up that way on defense. But I wouldn't be surprised if you see Cooper Flagg and, you know, Jason Kidd cook up some schemes where he is the point guard, because, you know, Kyrie Irving is out for a majority of the season. You can't really force him to come back quicker. So Cooper Flagg gets some good time to develop at many positions here, because you're not going to force Klay Thompson to be the primary ball handler. And Anthony Davis is a big.
And I think ultimately, like, we've moved into an era where it's just like positionless basketball. And it is true. I mean, we have so many, like, look at Cade Cunningham. Here you got another big point guard. LeBron James is 6'9", and nobody would, what, a point forward. And it's really only, you know, guys given these names because of their height. And so Cooper Flagg is definitely going to run the show. He's definitely going to go out there and make mistakes. And at the end of the day, yeah, who'd be shocked if he is running a team on a full-time basis? And Cooper Flagg, a Dallas Maverick, and look who his coach is. Yeah, Jason Kidd, one of the greatest point guards of all time. Anyway, speaking of running a team, earlier today we found out there's one guy who is not and will not be running a team. His name is Masai Ujiri. Despite running the Toronto Raptors for about 13 years, helping to bring a championship to the team in 2019, Masai Ujiri is out as president of the Raptors. Maple Leaf sports and entertainment boss Keith Pelley, he was asked about getting rid of Masai, and he just said a whole lot of nothing. He didn't really give a reason. Take a listen to this.
Today's not an easy day, but as you know, change is never easy. Masai Ujiri has had a monumental impact on the Raptors and on our community during his 13 seasons with this organization. His legacy will be indelibly etched in our city in perpetuity based on him playing such a significant role in bringing the 2019 NBA championship to our city, and also how he transformed our brand and worked through the Raptors to create a connection with so many fans in Toronto. We owe Masai a great deal of gratitude, and I wish him the very best moving forward. One thing we know, wherever Masai ends up, he will be successful.
Man, what a way to give somebody the boot. To not have a reason that you want to share publicly and then wish the guy that you just fired nothing but the best. That's how people do. They give you the boot and they just send you on out the door. And hey, we wish you all the best in your future endeavors. He'll land on his feet. Masai Ujiri helping to run basketball in Africa has been pretty much widely praised for helping to grow the sport there on the continent. I think Masai Ujiri will be just fine. And then also today we learned the NHL, their players, the owners, they came to an agreement on a new four-year CBA that will take in effect between 2026 and 2030. We also learned that at that point, we're going to get two additional games. The NHL is expanding their season from 82 games to 84. And then speaking of the NHL, Botch, isn't that draft going on right now?
Yeah, it's going on, and this might be one of the slowest drafts I've ever seen in my life. It started at 7, scheduled 7, and they're only on the 15th pick, and it's 9:10-ish.
East Coast time.
East Coast.
Excuse me? You said, when was the first pick made?
I'd say the first pick was made probably 7:15. Just because of, like, Gary Bettman came out and introduced everyone.
So, they've had 15 picks in the span of 2 hours?
Well, the 15th pick is on the clock with 50 seconds left. And it's only a 3-minute timer, too. So, it's not, like, something crazy.
What the hell are they doing in... 3 minutes?
It's 3 minutes to make a pick, but from what I'm seeing, I have no audio. Each pick, except for a few, has like a celebrity connected to the city. So like for Buffalo, they had the Goo Goo Dolls. For San Jose, they had a professional wrestler. So I think they're killing time there.
Oh boy.
And then they have this new interview process where it's like they're inside a screened room and they're talking to the draft room.
Wait. You said they're killing time, or they're killing time or wasting it?
Wasting. It's bad. And then, like, they've had a player interviewed twice because the number one pick for the Islanders gets drafted, goes into the stage, gets his jersey, whatnot, gets interviewed, and then comes back for a second interview, like, 10 minutes later.
Yeah, Matthew Schaefer selected number one overall by the New York Islanders for all the wonderful people out there interested in the Islanders. I guess everybody got to make money. So at this point, when is this draft going to be done? 11 o'clock at night?
15th right now, probably 11:30.
Oh, man. With the NBA, they started this, what, like 8:15?
Yeah, theirs started like 8:10 and was done by close to midnight.
Oh, my God. Well, NHL draft, obviously not as popular as the NBA draft. Or the NFL draft. In the Major League Baseball draft, I mean, well, damn it, you get guys who get drafted. You may not see these guys for 3-4 years. Sometimes you may never see any of these dudes. Yeah, Major League Baseball draft is probably the lowest one on the totem pole. Maybe you get the first overall pick. Maybe he gets fast-tracked to the big leagues. But everybody else is basically going to get stuffed down in the minors. Not all that fun when you get a guy who gets drafted. All the life is sucked out of the entire situation when you get a dude drafted and you don't see him. There's just no excitement there. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Speaking of excitement in a draft, we saw what happened with Caitlin Clark last year. And unfortunately, we're seeing what's going on with her this year. Caitlin Clark is hurt again. I'm going to tell you what her latest issue is. The phone lines are open if you want to give me a holler. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Of course, at the end of the show, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. You're locked into the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Now, we just talked about the draft. I don't know, pick one. NBA draft, which is concluded. The NHL draft, which is currently taking forever to take place. And then it's just like, man, all these drafts take forever now. Can't get a draft in. Can't get it over with. Just make the picks and keep it moving. But everything has to be a massive television production. And then one thing I mentioned about one draft in particular that really sucks is Major League Baseball. Because where's the optimism? Like, who cares? Like, okay, a guy gets drafted. You got five guys in the minor leagues that you're like, oh, well, maybe one day over the next 3 or 4 years, one of these guys can come up and help my team out. But you just never know. You never know when that prospect is going to get called up. And every now and then you get a hot shot. You get a guy who doesn't spend a lot of time in the minors. And the next thing you know, boom, here he is in the major leagues. But most guys, they have to wait. They may not make their debut in the majors until they're, I don't know, 24, 25, 26, 27. That is not unusual. It sucks. You get a guy drafted, you want to see them out there playing. We'll see Cooper Flagg right out of the gate. Okay? Like, we're going to see these players right away. You want the excitement. And there's no bigger example than this. Imagine Caitlin Clark coming out of Iowa. And instead of going to the WNBA, I don't know where she had to go. Imagine if they had a minor league. It wouldn't be sustainable. The WNBA is barely sustainable without her. But imagine if Caitlin Clark didn't play in the WNBA and she had to wait. This woman has come in and she has changed the entire trajectory of the WNBA. They still don't make money yet, but they're on their way. Caitlin Clark has their games, her games, and arenas. Caitlin Clark has moved the needle. Okay? Unfortunately, Caitlin Clark, she's hurt again. She just came back from a leg and a thigh injury. But now, Caitlin Clark is dealing with a groin injury. Okay? Now, I'm going to assume that's the abdominal area. I know what my groin feels like when it hurts. I don't know what hers does. But she is now day-to-day. And thank God they say that this groin injury is not related to her quad injury. People want to see her out there playing. Like, she's going to miss a game against L.A., and then she's going to miss a game against the Dallas Wings with Paige Beckers. Like, people want to see Caitlin Clark play. Her head coach, Stephanie White, this is what she had to say about Caitlin Clark's injury.
I think it's very much a day-to-day thing, how she responds to treatment. I stay in my lane and let our strength and conditioning and our physical, our AT staff do what they do best.
Botcher, here's a question for you. If Caitlin Clark isn't playing in a WNBA game, you watching?
It depends if the Liberty's playing, just because they're local and they're good.
And that's it. You just watched the local. What about when the Liberty were like, whatever, you didn't care, did you?
I watched Sabrina Ionescu for like her rookie year, and then even still, that was not a great rookie year. So I pop in and out.
Huh. You pop in and out of what? The Liberty or
just
what?
The league itself. It's just the channels itself are hard to find, whether it's like Pix 11 or
Ion
or stuff like that. So it's very hard to find the games.
Ion, I gotta think. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Yeah, somebody do me a favor. What the heck is Ion? Okay, what is Ion TV? Like, the WNBA is on. What is Ion? Do I get that through an antenna? Do I gotta tie a can to the top of a coat hanger to get that? what the heck is Ion TV? Home of the WNBA. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Wayne is here from Albuquerque. Only Albuquerque I know is in New Mexico. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Wayne?
Great promo, Breaking Bad, and the wrong place. Bugs Bunny took a right, wrong turn at.
Oh, sure. Well, John but Jones is out in Albuquerque, too.
Yeah, I have a bad story. He stole one of my girlfriend's, but that's a long story in itself.
Excuse me? John Jones stole your girlfriend?
Yeah, I was kind of dating with an official girlfriend, but it was getting kind of serious. We went out partying, and he said he's going to sleep with every girl in Albuquerque, and it happened to be the girl I was dating at the time as well. Was she
a dancer?
No, she was just a girl I was dating, but they were like, let's go to this party. She's like, I'll ride with them. I was supposed to meet her there. I never found out where the party was. Wow. Never heard from her back a couple of days, and long story short, yeah, he stole her, but...
Whoa! This is better than anything that you were calling me for.
Maybe.
Why didn't you fight John Jones? Why didn't you threaten him to fight him?
I'm 5'7", 160. I'm not fighting Jones. So we were at this party. There was two guys that were twice my size sitting next to me. They pat me in the shoulder and they said, "Jones is stealing your girl." And I was like, "Tonight?" And I was like, "No, he's not." He's like, "Yeah, he is." He walks around and says, I'm going to screw every girl in Albuquerque, and I'm going to take your girl. He points to my girl. I'm going to take your girl, and we're going to take off. And I was like, what? And then my friend who invited me to the party is like, hey, we're going to this after party. Let's go jump in with me. Come with us. I'll text you the address. She jumps in the truck with him. They take off. He's like, hey, text me where we're at. We're supposed to be at. I start blowing her up. She doesn't answer. And then 2 days later, she reaches back to me. I'm like, what happened? It's like, oh, I'm sorry, I got my phone died and all this stuff, and I was like, whatever, and just never talked to her
well,
again.
She was never your girl, okay?
Fair enough. You don't own anybody.
She belongs to the streets.
Obviously, maybe she did. I thought she was a little bit different, but yeah, that's a story in itself. But yeah, talking about getting beat up, I think Caitlin Clark getting beat up is actually good. I'm not saying anybody deserves to get beaten up, but it's definitely bringing a lot of publicity to the sport. It reminds me of the NBA in the 80s and 90s when Jordan was just getting mauled and the Celtics and the Pistons were fighting each other.
Wait. So Caitlin Clark doesn't have a groin injury because like somebody karate chopped her or kicked her in the groin. She has a groin issue, I believe, because maybe she's overworked it.
But she's overworked because people are going hard on her and she's having to play a little bit above her level.
No, Caitlin Clark had a leg issue before the season started. And then she had the missed time with the quad issue. And now she's dealing with the groin. Now the team doctors are saying, oh, well, her leg issue isn't related to the quad issue. Is that entirely true or accurate? Who knows? Maybe not. But I don't think – are people fouling the hell out of her? Yes. They were fouling the hell out of her last year. I don't think – I don't think she's going down because she's getting hacked.
No, I don't think so either, but I think she's pushing herself a little bit more because of the fact she is being hacked. Like if you're getting beat up on and nothing's being called, you're probably going to push your body a little bit harder than you normally would to be able to play above that. Discretions of calls not being called against for you or against you. So yeah. I agree. I don't think it's the direct, but I think it's very an indirect of why she's being injured for sure.
It's possible. I wouldn't believe so. I think she's smart enough to know how to go out there and play her game. I'm hoping that's not the case because let's be real. People want to see Caitlin Clark. And God forbid.
For sure.
God forbid Caitlin Clark had an injury that took her out for an extended – let's, for instance, and this would be worst-case scenario. I hate to even mention it or put it in the atmosphere. If Caitlin Clark tore her ACL today or tomorrow, let me tell you something. You want to know whose WNBA games will not be in arenas next year?
Nobody's.
Yeah, there you go. Nobody. There's not one damn arena game next year. I don't know. Maybe you take the Connecticut Sun, or they're not even good anymore. Yeah, the answer is nobody. Everybody has to go back to their, 4,000, 3,000 seat arena. Caitlin Clark is the button mover. And so they better start treating her as such, man. Lay off.
I agree 100%. But thanks for taking my call, man. I appreciate your time, man, always.
No doubt, Wayne. Thank you for calling from Albuquerque. Home of John Jones stealing everybody's girl. That's crazy. Can't imagine. Well, that she was never your girl. John Jones, I'm not going to say he's never been accused of stealing things, not that I know of. Bocce, he's never stole nothing, right? He's just hit and run a couple times, drugs, threatening police officers, but he's never stolen anything.
Yeah, no stealing. I think that guy just got really unlucky.
So Barry Bonds gets he got unlucky. How's that unlucky?
I don't know. What are the odds that you go to the same party John Jones is at, and he just happens to steal your girlfriend? Declares it.
What? Say again?
Declares it. Like, it's a statement. I'm going to sleep with your girlfriend.
What is anybody going to do besides, harm him with a weapon? What are you going to do to John Jones?
You're going to do nothing. You're going to, I don't know, walk away? Both walk away, maybe? So de-escalate the situation?
Well, I told you about my John Jones story, right? I told you, right?
Yeah, that you met him, that he's a nice guy. But
No. I didn't say that. I told somebody else. I have a friend named John who wrestled at Rutgers, and I know of John. I know who he is. He ain't my friend. Let's put it that way. John from Rutgers is my friend, and me and John and John Jones were all in the same place. It was a club. And anyway, I brought my friend John over to John Jones, and I said, "Hey, this is my friend John. You guys are both John." And I looked at John Jones. And I said, "My friend John here said he could kick your ass." And John Jones looked at my friend, and he looked at me. And John Jones said, "Oh, no, he didn't." And then my friend John is like, "No, I didn't say that." And I stood there and laughed because I'm a jerk. But if John Jones is anywhere outside, who's talking crap to him? Nobody.
Oh, yeah, no, I wouldn't talk crap to him. I would just walk away. I "Hey, let's walk out of here. I don't want you to be stolen by John Jones, so let's go somewhere else."
Oh, that's what you would tell your girlfriend. I don't want you to be stolen. Is it stealing?
No, but you said it was stealing. So it's like, I don't want you to be seduced by John Jones at this party in Albuquerque.
Seduced in Albuquerque. There's a lot of things in Albuquerque. Marco Belletti, you're outside. You're a younger man. John Jones walks in and says, "I'm taking your girlfriend." What do you do?
I think we're leaving.
Who's we?
Probably me. Because if she doesn't want to go, then that's fine. We're going to find another woman is what we're going to do.
You?
Yeah, probably.
You're going to leave the other woman with John Jones. You're going to go find another one.
Let's put it this way. If she's not walking out with me, that's the last time we're speaking.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So I guess that kind of question goes to her then.
What question goes to her?
If she's staying at the party with John Jones, then we're done. That's kind of a simple thing, no?
You're not fighting. This is your girlfriend. You're not fighting for her. No?
I may have fought once or twice for a woman. I don't know if I would be willing to step up the class and my weight to go up to John Jones. I think I might back down on that one. I'm not going
to
deny
so
that.
A little bottle to the back of the head is not going to even things out for you?
Yeah, I don't know if I want to go to jail either. So I feel like, you know, if we can't do this like old schoolyard little kid style, and I think I might be out.
Marco Belletti, I just named a whole lot of illegal things that John Jones has done. He's been arrested.
Mm-hmm.
Not for a long time, no. He just goes in and out.
He does. I'm worried about me. That's what I'm worried about.
I don't
want to go to jail.
You don't have that type of juice?
No. He can do the in and out whatever he wants to do. I'm walking out of here.
Okay. I thought you were Marco Belletti. I thought you could do whatever you wanted. Okay.
See, I'm honest. I could be the tough guy and be like, "Oh yeah, when I was younger, I would have stepped." No, I wouldn't have. I know that. I'm not dumb.
Yeah.
No, not to John. Look, come on, man. That's like, I'm old. That would be like Mike Tyson back in the day. I'm walking away. You think I'm messing with?
Oh, bro. Listen,
you think I'm messing with Tyson? Like, you think I'm messing with John Jones? I can't beat these guys. What are you, out of your mind?
David Shepard wants to fight Mike Tyson, remember?
Yeah. He wants to fight him with a microphone in front of his face and no Tyson in the room. That's what I'm saying. Like, come on. I can play the tough guy act. Let's be fair. Let's be reasonable. Let's be honest.
Remember Mike Tyson? Was it a couple years ago? Almost killed that guy on the plane. They had to calm him down.
Yeah. I'd like to know who that clown was, too, that you're messing with. I know you're on a plane. You think you're safe. There's a bunch of people around. Brah, you're messing with Mike Tyson. Just leave it alone. And I don't care. He's 60.
Yeah, what was he doing? Kicking the back of... He was harassing him for whatever.
Wasn't he talking to him, too, though? Like, wasn't he, like...
Yeah,
he was messing with him.
Could you imagine you're on a plane being a jerk? And every now and then you get a jerk who doesn't care. Imagine being on a plane and you're, like, hitting the back of the seat. And the guy turns around and he's Mike Tyson. What do? Pee on yourself? Right?
Well, I mean, again, like you apologize.
Sorry, Mike.
And you're hoping that it's going to go as far as that. But everybody, I don't know. Everybody's the tough guy. Everybody's the Twitter tough guy and the troll. And everybody wants to act like they're, isn't that the old Tyson thing back in the day? Didn't he have that famous line of like, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face?
Yeah, like, if you get punched in the face by Mike Tyson, there's a good chance that you're dead.
Yeah, like, good plan until John Jones hits you. And then you wake up 4 days later and you're like, what happened to Stephanie? Where'd she go? Where am I? Where the hell am I?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. What a world. Anyway, I'm not tough either. I'm leaving these guys alone. Mind my business. I set other people up to fight and I stand in the background. That's what I do. Mind my business. Anyway, it's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. That's the number if you want to give me a holler before we roll out. We're going to roll into a few things that took place this day in sports history. But right now we're rolling into a news flash with Marco Belletti.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. It's a good opportunity, a good time to let you know that this NASCAR race preview is sponsored by WeatherGuard Truck and Van Equipment. They're just as driven as the hardworking pros that they serve. Oh, it's going to be real fun. Here's a preview. Here in Atlanta, Georgia on Sunday, it's going down. Atlanta Motor Speedway. Let's see if Austin Hill gets the job done here in the ATL. He's won 5 out of the last 6 races since they fixed the track in 2022. Going to be a lot of fun here in Georgia. It is the end of the show. Before I get to the phone lines, 888-710-4ISN, you know what it means. It's time for a few things that took place this day in sports history.
In the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again.
It's time for this day in sports history.
You see, back in those days,
we had radio and you couldn't see anything. And it was primitive and lousy and we liked it.
On the JR Sport Brief Show.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
It is June 27th. The year is 2025. If we go back to June 27th, 1988, speaking of Mike Tyson, Iron Mike Tyson knocked out Michael Spinks, and he did it in about a minute and 30 seconds. Let's listen to Larry Merchant have a chat with Mike Tyson on HBO after he put Michael Spinks down and did it without breaking a sweat.
Mike, congratulations. Did you have any premonition that it would end this fast?
My trainer told me before I left, I bet both of our purses that you knock him out in the first round. So I thought he was serious, so just now he said it was mine. And so I went out and knocked him out in the first round.
Man, you gotta love the fact that Mike Tyson doesn't sound like somebody that could rip your heart out of your chest. June 27, 2001, we called him a bust a couple of days ago. One of the biggest busts in NBA draft history. Kwame Brown selected out of high school by the Washington Wizards. How bad was Kwame Brown? Well, he didn't even know about basketball. His former teammate, Brendan Haywood, shout outs to North Carolina, Brendan Haywood. Brendan Haywood was on a podcast, Run Your Race. He says that Kwame Brown, let's just say he wasn't educated on the NBA at all.
you could tell certain guys don't watch basketball. Hey, true story. We're in Philadelphia. I ain't gonna say this guy's name because he'll get out there. He'll go crazy on the internet. Guy on my team in Philly, he walks out, go to the bus, comes back. He had forgot something. He was like, yo, man, like Philly team doctor was talking about he wanted to work with me on my hands and how to catch and this, that, and the third. I said, what? So I'm like, why is the Philly team doctor talking to one of our rookies? Walk out there. We look to the right. The doctor he's talking about is Dr. J. On my mama.
No way.
On my mama. He had no clue. No clue who Dr. J was. Julius Irvin? Julius who? Had no clue. So some guys at the highest level do not watch basketball. Had no clue who Dr. J was.
Wow. Well, he also said that he wasn't too dedicated to the game after a lot of the criticism that he received. Okay. Yeah, Kwame Brown selected this day. Congratulations, Michael Jordan, on that pick. June 27th, 2006, Roger Federer won his record 42nd straight grass court match at Wimbledon, beating Richard Gasquet. Roger Federer, he broke the record that he shared with Borg. Let's take a listen to Roger Federer talk about his love of touching that grass. This is courtesy of the ATP Tour.
Well, it's just good fun, you know. Playing on the grass is very natural. It's just feel like it's what I've always been doing, you know. It's weird because I never practiced on it, obviously, when I was young. And when I come here and I get a chance to play, I always have a smile on my face.
Yeah, man, you beating records owned by Bjorn Borg. It's a serious situation. Shout outs to Roger Federer. It's a shame that we will never see the guy play again. February 27, 2013. This is the biggest bust that we gave on the top six list on Wednesday. Anthony Bennett selected at number one overall by the Cleveland Cavaliers. Let's just say the folks over at ESPN didn't love it.
With the first pick in the 2013 NBA draft, the Cleveland Cavaliers select Anthony Bennett. Whoa! Of Toronto, Canada, and the University of Nevada, Las Vegas.
Whoa! Anthony Bennett, after 1 year at UNLV, becomes the first player taken in the 2013 NBA draft.
Reese, I need medical help.
Yeah. Okay. Now we had some great guys in that draft. So Victor Oladipo was selected right after him. Okay. Steven Adams was selected after him. Giannis was a project selected at him at number 15. Dennis Schroeder was selected after him. Yeah. Let's just say things didn't work out. Rudy Gobert selected 27 in that draft. June 27th. Let's go to 2017. The Florida Gators, they ended up winning the College World Series. They beat LSU. They scored four runs in the eighth. They beat them 6-1. Take a listen to this, courtesy of ESPN.
This could do it on the ground to second. And the Gators get their first College World Series championship. And they dogpile at the mound at TD Ameritrade.
Yeah, and a lot of those guys, they got to enter into that stupid Major League Baseball draft system, and we wouldn't see them for a long time anyway. And there you have it, a few things that took place this day in sports history. Yeah, it's been June 27th all day long. Let's see if we can squeeze in a call or two before we roll out. 888-710-4ISN. Irvin is calling from Louisiana, coincidentally. Irvin, go ahead. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show.
Good evening, sir. Caitlin Clark kind of reminds me a little bit of Hack-a-Shaq. When Shaq was over at LSU, he had a pretty good supporting cast, Stanley Roberts, and a pretty good guard over there. And Dale Brown foregoed a possible run for a national championship by telling him, look, you need to go to pro. Because every time he got the ball in the post, Kentucky and everybody else was beating up on him, sent him to the free throw line. They did the same thing in the pros to him. And then it reminds me of Bill Laimbeer, who purposely would go after players, especially people like Larry Bird, and knock the crap out of them, you know. And, of course, back then in the 80s, it was a different NBA game. But this is reminiscent of Hack-a-Shaq and Bill Laimbeer, the thing that's going on.
Yeah,
with
I think it's different, though. We know Shaquille O'Neal wasn't shooting anything to save his life. And so I think it's a little bit different. I think it's a little bit closer to kind of what Bill Laimbeer and the Pistons did to Michael Jordan. I don't know if I'd put that same thing as to Shaq. Hey, Irvin, we're up against it. Thank you so much for calling from Louisiana.
Good night.
Thank you. Hey, Paul from Rhode Island, you're on the JR Sport Beat Show. Make it fast.
Hello.
Got to be faster than that, Paul.
Okay, my man. It's been a while. I'm sorry. I just wanted to talk about NHL prospects. Listen, we gotta change something around. 60% of the NHL players are Canadian, and then we got to split the 40% between the American players and the European players. These parents have paid a lot of money for these academies. It's a shame. It's a shame.
Oh, so how about I got a quick solution. Let's just create more ice in the southeastern part of the United States of America, and then I think we'll get more hockey players, okay?
Okay, my man. I'm not going to argue with you today.
Oh, thank you, Paul, for calling from Rhode Island. That's the solution. What the heck do you want? Like, it's cold up in Canada. They play hockey. It's drilled into them culturally. Like, we're supposed to be mad that there's more Canadians coming in than Americans? What do you want? Last time I checked, America isn't all cold. Let's get over it. Anyway, thank you so much for tuning in to the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you to Jake Weinbach for joining us to talk about the NBA and its draft. I'll be back with you Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to our producer, Ryan Botcher. You can find me online everywhere at JR Sport Brief. The JR Sport Brief Show is over, but don't move. Bart Winkler is coming up next.